All right, it looks like we're all here. Welcome. This is the Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. I am Judge Flory. I'll be the presiding judge on the panel today, along with Judges Hooten and Gatiss. If anybody cannot hear me right now, wave your hand or give me an indication that you're unable to hear me. All right, with that, we'll proceed then. Just a reminder before we get started here that court rules prohibit the recording of any of these proceedings other than the official court recording, which we will post in our normal course of business on our website. So I'd request that there be no other independent recordings of the proceedings here today, as that would be violative of the court's rules. With that, we'll call the first case on the calendar. That's court file A20. 0358 Larry Francis Stevens versus Commissioner of Public Safety. Appellant, both parties will have 15 minutes for their principal arguments. Appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if they wish. Please begin your arguments by identifying yourselves for our record. And with that, counsel for appellant, you may proceed. You're muted right now, Mr. Atkins. There you go. And it is helpful if you're not speaking to mute yourself so we don't hear the rustling of papers and that type of thing. So go ahead, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jay Atkins. I represent the appellant in this matter, Larry Francis Stevens. Today, we are asking that this court reverse the district below and rescind the revocation of Mr. Stevens' license on two issues that have been raised. First, whether the police officers violated Mr. Stevens' Fourth Amendment rights when they approached the home, bypassed the front door, knowingly entered the deck, surrounded the sliding glass deck door, and jointly between three officers approached that glass door. And then secondly, whether or not there was an illegal seizure of Mr. Stevens while he was still in his home. To the first issue. This case really hinges on a simple question, whether a homeowner has granted a officer or a solicitor or any other private citizen an implied license to walk around a home and enter a home's deck and approach that home by that sliding glass deck door that we're all familiar with, merely because an interior light in the kitchen and dining room area is on. To kind of walk back a little bit where we stand legally, in 2013, the United States Supreme Court clarified that Fourth Amendment protection in the home is not simply based off the CATS test, but also applies the traditional property principles. They said the CATS test is in addition to this. It's not a substitute for. And as part of that, it doesn't mean a cop can never go to a home. A cop can do whatever a private citizen, once again, I'll use their words, a solicitor, a hawker or a peddler could do, which is to go to, quote, the front door via the, quote, front porch, knock, wait to be received, and if not received, turn around and leave. Just 2 years ago, the Minnesota Supreme Court then had a chance to interpret this case that also dealt with officers not going to the front door. And two things came out of that opinion. First, the Minnesota Supreme Court said, we have never said and certainly expressed some reluctance to do so, that an officer can knowingly bypass the front door and still comply with the Fourth Amendment. And that was very clear in the opinion. The other part was that even if a cop could bypass a front door, they are still limited only to a, quote, visitor's normal route of access, unquote. Now here, the state simply fails both. It is uncontested that the officers, the three officers, knowingly bypassed the front home and that they, quote, knowingly entered the deck. To do this, they had to walk up a 200-foot driveway in an isolated rural home, walk past a front door that had railings and cement, and the pictures were submitted into evidence, continue on the driveway, walking by another door that also had a doorbell and screen door, around the house to a back door. Now, this back door also had a storm door and a doorbell, but the officers didn't try that door either. They walked past that door as well, through a closed gate and onto the deck. And it's important that this court understand that the officer explicitly testified he knew this was the deck. This is on page 26 and 27 of the transcript. He knew this was the deck. He knew it was not the front door. And when asked if he had any reason to think that this route was a normal route of access for visitors, his response was, I wasn't concerned with that. I wanted to get to the subject, and the interior kitchen light was on, so that's where I went, because the deck got me closest.
Could I ask you this? I mean, is this a matter of first impression in the state of Minnesota?
I don't think so. I think the Shute opinion very clearly lays out what a normal route of access is for visitors. And I don't think this court needs to decide whether or not a cop must go to the front door simply because it is commonly understood under our social norms that you do not approach a home from a deck. And the mere fact that if someone's in their kitchen at the time and they have their kitchen light on doesn't change that fact. And that's where I think...
Is that necessarily true, though? If in fact, depending on the circumstances, if there's evidence that the public ordinarily enters that home through the deck, wouldn't that change the analysis here?
Yes, it would. Yes, it certainly would. And the officer was asked about that. And once again, he explicitly said he did not understand this to be the normal route of access. He pointed to no facts that would support such a contention. He never made that claim. He merely said, I went to where the light was, multiple times when asked. But I do agree with Your Honor that if we had some facts to point to, much like the Shute, to have an analysis. In Shute, a home had multiple driveways, the main driveway and then another driveway that came from the other side of the property. The court described it as a well-worn area, and other indicia that invited anyone to attempt to have a backdoor entrance to the home. And they once again pointed to specific facts, I think what Your Honor alluded to. They could see that this was, and the court was very clear, this was the visitor's main route of access to this home. But we don't have any of that here. And the cop was given multiple opportunities to make that claim and continually said, I knew this was the deck. I knew it wasn't the front door. I never thought this is where visitors approach. I just wanted to go to the light.
But it's not. Go ahead, Judge.
Well, I'm looking at the Shute case and I don't, I mean, the way I read this, and please tell me if I'm wrong, but they basically are discussing the case where an officer goes to the front door, rings the doorbell, knows people are in there for one reason or another, and there is a number of cases involving the situation. And then after going to the front door, then goes to the back door. And as I read Shute, they're acknowledging the presence of those cases, and the fact that it has been held that would be a reasonable interpretation of what the implied license is. And in this case, and so I don't read it as saying that. I mean, the way I read the analysis of that line of cases is they're just saying we've never addressed that and we don't need to here today. Am I wrong in that? Because I'm just reading Justice Chutich's opinion, and it says, like the Eighth Circuit, we have never held that a knock and talk license allows officers to proceed to the backyard of the property before attempting to contact the resident at the front door. There's just an acknowledgement that we've never held that.
That's correct. And that's why I raised it at the front. But the other thing, Shute, and I may be mispronouncing that defendant's name. The other thing that was discussed in that case, and the reason why the court didn't make an announcement, was because the officers, even if they didn't go to the front door, the court said it didn't matter door. Because when they went to the backyard and from this normal access based amendment violation has now, of course, we don't need to decide whether or not the cop needed to go to the front door because they didn't in that case. Here, just like Shute, the officers did not can stay on a visitor's normal route of access to the home. Once again, in applying this implied license, the courts have looked to social norms. In fact, Jardine's court talks about trick-or-treaters, Girl Scout cookies, salesmen, and
Mr. Atkins,
youth hockey players,
cut
and
out
vacuum
on
salesmen. There. Oh, I beg your pardon. The court uses social norms to justify this implied license. Door-to-door salesmen, trick-or-treaters, Girl Scout cookie sales, and said, you know, this is where that right comes from, is that social norm. And so when we're talking about a debt, and that the officers knew this was a debt, and I want that to be clear, there's no mistake of fact, there's no reasonable mistake of fact. The cop testified, I knew this was the deck, and I went there because an interior light in the kitchen was off. So by doing that, the second the officers entered the deck, they veered from a, quote, visitor's normal route of access, unquote. And
why is that
the Fourth Amendment.
Why is that, Mr. Atkins? I think it's an objective and not a subjective standard as to what the officer was thinking that night. And I'm just wondering, the record seems to support that he walked up the driveway. When he was walking up the driveway, which I assume any citizen could do, he observed this sliding glass door with the light on the back. It was the only light illuminated in the house, the only door illuminated or light near a door illuminated. And he approached that door. Why under those circumstances wouldn't any citizen who is approaching that house under those circumstances think that that was a normal way to approach the house?
Well, I respond in two ways. And the first one is simply that's not what the cop testified. He didn't testify that this was what he believed to be a normal route of the house, but I understand the objective question. And to answer that, I would go to the hypothetical that I raised in my brief. Consider a vacuum salesman who, walking through some neighborhoods, sees one person in his kitchen and the interior kitchen light on. So this gentleman, the homeowner, is sitting in his kitchen. And the salesman says, you know, I don't think this guy's going to answer if I go to the front door. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enter the deck and I'm going to go right up to the sliding glass door where I can see everything. The most integral view of someone's home is on that deck. And to approach a homeowner that way. I mean,
but isn't that a subjective example and not an objective example?
Well, Your Honor, I think under the property-based analysis, the question is whether or not there was an implied license given by the homeowner. So to hold that this was a normal route of access would have to say, whenever someone is in their kitchen or a light that's near their deck, they have now given anyone, any private citizen, a license to bypass the front door and go straight to the deck merely because you're in your kitchen. In fact, I would argue it's more intrusive and even more of a violation of someone's property rights, which are so sacred that, as this court's pointed out, you cannot step foot on one person on a man's land or without his leave. And I use the gender neutral term that the courts used in that quote. I think it's actually more intrusive to use the knowledge of someone's precise location in their home to bypass the social norm, which is the standard with this implied license, to reach them in a way that they can't choose whether or not to come to the front door. I mean, if you're sitting at your kitchen and there's someone standing at your glass door, you don't have a choice. They can see everything. They're there. They have already entered your private deck, have intruded on your property, and you don't have the normal choice that you would be given under social norms. And Your Honor, I think that I would also bring you back when asking this objective versus subjective. The Jardine's opinion makes it very clear this comes from social norms. And that's why that there is this implied license through society, and that a cop can do no more than a door-to-door salesman can do. And simply put, any homeowner who has their deck entered simply because they have their light on inside the kitchen. And I want that once again to be clear. This is not exterior light. It's inside light. And the cop took that as, I'm going to go and enter the deck. I also think it should be pointed out that there is uncontested testimony that to do this, the cop had to go through a gate. A picture of this wooden gate was submitted into evidence. One of the other home owners, the petitioner's son, testified this gate is always closed and described the locking mechanism. The police officer, when asked, testified that he did not recall one way or the other whether or not this door was open or closed. So he could not speak to it. So the uncontested evidence is not only that the cop intentionally bypassed the front door and intentionally entered the deck and never made any claim that this would have been a normal route of access, nor that he believed it to be so, but he also had to open a closed wooden gate to get onto the deck to do it. In addition to the spatial limitations that we have covered here, there's also the purpose-based violation as well. The officer here testified that he knew that this was going to be a DWI matter. He brought the PBT with him. This was a situation where he wanted to get to the individual to run him through testing. So there's also the purpose-based limitation, and I'll leave it there unless there's any questions, seeing that my time is running short. I also want to raise the seizure issue very quickly. It's well understood here that to see someone in their home, you need probable cause plus an exigent circumstance. The lower court here said probable cause, the rest of it's moot. So there's been no finding of exigent circumstance. In fact, the cop testified explicitly there was no exigent circumstance because he knew there was no medical emergency. The question is then, well, when did the seizure occur? You have to require some showing of force that a private citizen would know they're not free to leave. In this case, the cop testified that he told Mr. Stevens to come out of the house 6 times in 4 minutes, and that these statements started to be accompanied with sayings such as, come out of the house, we have your keys, which certainly seems to imply that you're not getting your keys back unless you comply. Also, while Mr. Stevens was still in his home, the officer told him, I'm going to run you through field sobriety tests. No reasonable person would feel free to leave, and I see that my time has run out. Thank you.
Thank you. You'll have 5 minutes of rebuttal if you wish. Counsel for respondent.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court, William Young, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Commissioner. I'm going to begin by addressing a couple of the questions that were asked of Mr. Adkins and just respond accordingly. So, Flory, you had asked about the standard being objective, and I think that's exactly right. And in addition, the district court made very explicit findings about that the way the trooper approached the house was a natural way to approach. The trooper had to make a reasonable inference as to where to go. If you look at the exhibits that were put in the record that were taken by the petitioner's son or the appellant's son, the door that he calls the main door, exhibit 4, is unlit. There's no railing. It's up a hill. When you're walking up here, and it's not as if the trooper lingered or dawdled on his way up. He just walked straight up the driveway to the house. He may not have even seen that doorway, and it sure doesn't look like the one that's particularly welcoming. The trooper then bypassed the door underneath the attached garage. The district court called that a protruding segment of the house. Again, while that might be the door where someone leaves packages because they're not trying to necessarily make contact with the homeowner, that's not necessarily the door that somebody actually trying to make contact who's licensed, like a Girl Scout or trick-or-treater, is going to go. And finally, talking about the social norms that Mr. Adkins referenced several times, if the two passersby who stopped to help appellant out of his truck, appellant apparently left without his keys, if they're going to walk up with his keys, they're going to want to try to get it to him. They're not going to just give up and or say, well, he's sitting right there with the light on right there. I'm not going to take the last step and knock on that door and say, here are your keys. So I think when you look at the social norms, it is the context of what's actually happening here. This is an entirely different situation than, and it's a factually specific situation, than if, you know, there's trick-or-treaters, there's Girl Scouts. If the pizza man is coming, he's probably going to go wear the light on to try to get the pizza delivered. This isn't an indication where the trooper walked behind the house. He's not out of view from that squad video from the driveway. He's not doing a deviation from his route to conduct a search, to look at, to gather any evidence, like in the shoot case where the deputy, you know, looked for the VIN of the camper, went inside the camper, as the Supreme Court had held, straight from that normal route of access. We have here, the trooper walked right up and went right to the house, exactly where you'd expect him to go. Judge Hooten, you'd also ask a question.
Could I ask you this? Go ahead. I'll let you deal with
it. As I say, you would ask whether this is, I apologize for speaking over you, Judge Hooten. I was going to respond to your question about whether this is a question of first impression. And I don't necessarily think it is. I sort of agree with Mr. Adkins that the Supreme Court in Shute talked about that there was explicit findings in Shute that the route, that driveway, there's pathway in the driveway was a normal route that people were impliedly allowed to come to that house. In this case, similarly, the district court made factual findings that this was a natural way to approach the house and that is a reasonable inference for the trooper to approach that way. And so I think this is a factual review of whether that conclusion from the district court from gathering the evidence was erroneous or not. And so therefore, I don't think it's a question of first impression. This is just applying the unique facts of this residence to the trooper's approach and whether that actually fits within the Fourth Amendment reasonableness analysis.
All right. Mr. Young, I was just going to confirm, you're not disputing that the deck is part of the curtilage of the house. Am I correct?
You are correct. I think it's completely undisputed that the patio okay. is curtilage.
All right. And you are disputing that therefore the Fourth Amendment and whatever rights arise under the Fourth Amendment would apply with regard to the actions of the officer that night.
Correct. Much like, and I would push back that it's not midnight. It's about 9:45 or 9:30. But much like the curtilage in Jardines and the curtilage in Shute, this is still a curtilage case. We're not challenging the four done factors. Absolutely that those were met. This is curtilage of Mr. Stevens' residence. But there's still that implied licensed visit. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and our issue today is whether the implied license in the social norms would support the officer's use of that deck in the backyard. Am I correct?
Yes, there's the
in
two
order to do a knock and talk.
Yes, there's the two elements that need to be analyzed, whether there was an implied license to visit to that deck. And secondly, whether the officer exceeded the scope of that license when he went up to knock on the door.
At social norms, as I understand, the backyard had a fence and there was a gate. Am I correct?
There was a gate to get
and
to
there
the
was
patio.
Some dispute as to whether that gate was locked or not locked.
Yes, the trooper could not recall one way or the other. It is not entirely clear from the review of the record, though, whether that gate was between the entrance to go up to the two doors on the next to the patio and the patio door, or whether it was between the two doors. I'm not entirely clear on that from just looking at the photos and from the record that was developed. At some point, though, the trooper passed through a gate.
All right. Well, let's talk about social norms. I mean, usually when you have a front door, I mean, there's a doorbell. Usually there's not a big glass window in that door. And there's a sidewalk leading up to that front door. And it's very clear that the public, including the male people, the neighbors, whatever, that they can come to that door. And that's part of the social norms. Is it a social norm, though, that people can go through a gate and a fence and go to a back deck with big windows? They usually always have sliding glass doors where anyone can see in at any time of the day or night. I mean, can we hold that is the social norm, that that's open to the public? I mean, isn't that what you're asking us to do?
Your Honor, in the Tract case, this court held that officers were permitted to go into an attached garage, an enclosed area, to get to the doorway to make contact with the landowners, which is much more sort of restricted than an open patio deck. Additionally, many residences have a fenced-in front yard, so to merely get to the house, you have to go through the gate or that fence. Here, the gate was much closer to the actual house, and I'm not sure how the officer would or the trooper would get to the residence without going through that gate if he goes to those two doors that are up in the illuminated area. Additionally, the two doors that weren't within the gate, as the district court found, don't seem like they were the main doors that somebody would come to. One was next to that protruding segment of the house that was sort of tucked underneath by the garage, and then the other one was up on the side of the house in the dark. It was not lit. There was no railing to get up there. It was up a hill. And so it's entirely possible the trooper didn't even know that doorway was there. So he's going to go to it's an interesting question. The one that might be a question of first impression is, does the standard change a little bit depending on whether it's day or night? Because how can a person go to a doorway that they don't even know exists? So they can only go to the one that seems to be open to them as they approach the residence in the context of when they come.
And I'll just ask, Mr. Young,
So I think there's a question both from Judge Gatiss and Judge Hooten. If yours is a follow-up, Judge Hooten, why don't you go ahead and then Judge Gatiss can ask her question.
No. I will yield to Judge Gatiss. Go ahead, Judge Gatiss.
Thanks. So Mr. Young, are you asking us to adopt a global rule that the police can approach a patio door in the rear of the house, or are you asking us to merely look at the unique facts of this case and make a determination that applying social norms here under the unique facts of this case, this would be an entrance that would be used by someone coming to the house to talk to someone?
Your Honor, it would be the latter. With the Fourth Amendment reasonableness analysis, it needs to be the facts of each particular residence, the facts of each individual approach need to be analyzed separately. So this case wouldn't be proper for a global rule. I can absolutely think of many, many factual circumstances when the police shouldn't approach a certain area of the house, again, depending on the context. Just in this particular facts of this case, the trooper took what the district court called a natural way to approach the house and made a reasonable inference as to where to approach the house. And because it was reasonable to the district court, those factual findings are not clearly erroneous. The video confirms the trooper walked right up the driveway to right where he thought he was supposed to go to get in touch with the homeowner. And so it would definitely be the latter. It would be that each case should be analyzed on its own facts, and on the unique facts of this property, this approach was reasonable.
So, I mean, so you think that if the front door lights aren't on, but the back door lights are on, that would give the officer the right to go through the gate and onto the deck in the backyard and do a knock and talk?
No, I don't think that. No, the officer doesn't have permission to be sort of wandering around the back end of the house trying to find any room that has a light on to the knock on that door. The officer should go to the area that seems to be impliedly open to the public. And with this layout of this house, the door that he went to was the one that he could see walking from the public highway up the driveway. He went exactly where you'd expect him to go. That the light was sort of the beacon calling him, here's going to be the front of the house. Here's where I welcome visitors. The doors that the appellant suggested the officer should have stopped at in the first place were not illuminated, and the officer went right where he made that reasonable inference, as the district court found. He went right where he thought he should go to make contact with the homeowner. Again, somebody was going to have to go give the appellant his keys at some point. Surely they would go to the same place. They're going to try to get him the keys and say, here you go, whether it's the passersby or whomever it is. Or, you know, if the appellant orders a pizza late at night or something like that, they're going to go and say, here you are. Here's what you need. So, but in a different case, they're not going to be walking around the back of the house in the dark in a poorly lit area. That would surely exceed the reasonableness requirement. That's just not the facts that we have here. Your Honors, I would just briefly touch upon, in addition to the implied license to walk to that patio area, whether the trooper exceeded the scope of that license. The district court made findings that the trooper was going for two different reasons. One, to conduct a possible DWI investigation, but also the purpose of getting the accident report filled out, which was mandated by statute for him to do. And so the district court's finding that he had an objective reason to make contact with the appellant and did not exceed that is not clearly erroneous. And then I'd also discuss briefly the seizure issue. the fact that the appellant came to the doorway, spoke with the trooper in the doorway, and then ultimately came outside for the field sobriety and testing and was arrested. As the Elian case makes clear, you know, you can be arrested or seized in your doorway or at that threshold. So by opening the door, the appellant exposed himself to that ultimate seizure at that moment. He was not seized before that. Are there any other questions for me, Your Honors?
Mr. Young, yes, I have one. Do you have any case law that would support your position that the officer can bypass the front door if the light's not on and go to the back patio or our deck in the backyard through a gate? And that would be an implied license to do so.
Well, Your Honor, I would say first that I don't think that he bypassed the front door. He went to what seemed to be the front door area. The officer had never been to this residence before, and he couldn't go to doors he didn't know existed. I don't have a case law particularly on point.
Yeah, but aren't the social norms is most houses have front doors that are open to the public?
Yes, and looking at the photos of the exhibits that were attached to Your Honor, the front door seemed to be the one up around the protruding segment of the garage. I believe it's depicted. So the photo exhibit 3 is the protruding segment, and exhibit 4 is the side door that the officer bypassed to get to the doorway that are depicted in exhibits 5 and 7, which appear to be the front door. They're the ones that have a main entrance. That the gate seems to be in 7 that he walked through, somewhere on that side of there. So under the unique layout of this residence, these doors weren't the back door. The door that faced the roadway was the one that was lit, that doesn't have a canopy. Like a normal front door would have something that a canopy would hang over it. It would have a mailbox or an illuminating light. None of those were present on this door that faced the roadway. So for the door that the trooper actually approached, that seemed to be the front door for this layout. I see that I'm out of time. So if there's no other questions, I'd respectfully ask that you affirm the district court.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Young. You do have 5 minutes of rebuttal if you'd like, Mr. Adkins, and I know that you're muted right now.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, I would like to use my rebuttal. The respondents, counsel, just made a couple of arguments that are not factually accurate based off our record. He claimed that the cop thought this was the front door and that he went where he reasonably suspected was the front door. Well, that's not what the cop testified. And I'll direct your notes to page 26 through 28 of the transcript. Here's what the cop did testify. He knew this was the deck. He knew this wasn't the front door. He knew there was no doorbell. He did see the other doors. He walked by them. When asked if he took a second to see if they had doorbells, he said he didn't look. He paid no attention to them. On page 28, he said, my only concern was making contact with the driver of the vehicle, so I went to the light. So any claim that this was a reasonable mistake of fact or that this was believed to be the front door or a main door is simply factually not accurate based off the officer's own explicit testimony, and that needed to be cleared up. Additionally, Your Honor, I heard a respondent's counsel continually trying to apply the reasonableness test, and I just merely bring you back to Florida v. Jardines and what they said. That reasonable test is in addition to the property-based Fourth Amendment rights, not a substitute for. And under the property-based rights, the second, and this is where I go to shoot, the second the officers leave the visitor's normal route of access, a property-based Fourth Amendment violation has occurred. Moving then finally to the seizure issue, the respondents' counsel argues that Mr. Stevens knowingly exposed himself to be arrested and brought up the threshold cases. In these arrests where the cops have been excused from needing probable cause in an exigent circumstance to arrest in a home, they've all applied at the front door. Mainly the Minnesota ones involved the arrestee knowingly coming to the front door when they knew the cops were there and that they voluntarily did this. That's not the facts of this case. And to be frank, it completely ignores the obvious practical implications someone has when someone has already entered your deck, is standing at an open glass door where they can see everything. They can see your, you know, most houses, the deck leads to a dining room, a kitchen, and a living room, the most integral part of a home. And to merely have them continually knock and telling you need to come out is not the same as answering the of that. That case law is not so, as helpful as respondent puts forward. It just ignores the real
You're cutting out on us a little bit, Mr. Atkins.
That's with this. I apologize. Can you hear me now, Your Honor?
We can hear you better now.
Okay. Is that better?
It seems like it's better, yeah.
Okay. I guess was my previous comments heard, or were those all unintelligible?
I think maybe just the last point you were attempting to make became pretty unintelligible.
Okay. The seizure, that it all the cases that deal with cops being allowed to arrest someone in the home without an exigent circumstance deal with the individual going to the front door knowingly and exposing themselves. That is not the same thing as we have here, where the cops have already intruded on the deck and are standing in front of a wide open glass door that allows you to see everything. The kitchen, the dining room, the living room, the most integral.
What stopped your client from just turning off the kitchen light and going to bed and ignoring the officer out there?
Being told that you need to come, he's
going to test. Yeah, we can't hear your response.
I think that any citizen who's told by cops, you need to come outside, I have your keys. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah, you're kind of coming in and out. I think it must be your connection or bandwidth that's coming in and out for you, but go ahead.
Your Honor, Mr. Stevens was told by the officers at the glass screen door, you need to come outside, we have your keys, and we're going to run you through field sobriety tests. So that's what prevented that.
All right.
And I'm going to go back just to make sure that once again, Florida v. Jardine says property violation exists in completely independent of the reasonableness test under Katz. And here we have a violation under both, but quite frankly, applying shoot, not only was this not a normal route of visitors.
Could I ask you this, Mr. Atkins, who has the burden of proof?
The state has the burden of proof that an exception to the warrant requirement applies. Yes, would you like me to call in if you can't hear me?
No,
I heard you. I heard your answer.
Okay. Oh, you did. All right. They have the burden to prove the exception. A finding of consent is a factual finding, but that's not what the judge found here. He didn't find that consent happened. He said it was a reasonable inference of the most natural way to approach. That's not the test laid out in shoot that the Minnesota Supreme Court gave us. So there was never really a truly finding of consent. Those words never found their way into the order. And seeing my time is up, I just ask that this court reverse and rescind the license revocation for the foregoing reasons. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. And I did give you about an extra minute there for the rebuttal in light of our technical difficulties with your connection. So I think we heard everything you were arguing here today. We appreciate both of your arguments. We'll take the matter under advisement at this time, and we'll issue a decision within 90 days.